Amen. 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 And bless you, Sister Patsy.
Brother Miller, I'd like to thank the Lord today for the salvation of my soul. As we sang that last song, I thought about my childhood days and things that I learned then. I suppose we fall a lot. Our
Bless you, Brother Weed. Enjoyed the good testimonies. Sister DeMumbrin, and I've said this before, she has just displayed great faith and has been such an inspiration to me, and I believe to so many others, her and Sister Reba, and I'm thankful for their attitude. I believe it's very godly. When we're born into the world, I mean, the very moment, I mean, our first breath, we begin a journey right then towards death. And, so many, natural causes, people die of heart failure and cancer and diabetes and just all sorts of different things. But, we're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And the wise thing to do, as it's been said, in fact, the wisest thing you can do is make your spiritual preparations to get ready for death, because it's going to come, the Bible says, to all of us. So I appreciate the testimonies and the good advice given today. And let's remember this. I want to call your attention to some scripture today from the second chapter of Paul's epistle to the Philippians. If you want to read along with me, please turn there, Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. I'm just going to read a fairly short scripture lesson. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took up on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I'm going to stop my reading there, having read from 2 Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through verse 11. I want to use a very simple title today. I want to state this very emphatically. There's something mentioned in these verses and contained here in Philippians chapter 2 There's four words that I want to use for my title that's taken from this, and that is, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. In verse 11, Paul said, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I want us to think for just a moment before I go very far at all. I want us to think about what is being said. You know, a lot of people today call Jesus Lord, and some of them don't even perhaps understand what they're really saying. But the Lord Jesus Christ one time asked a very, very important question, and this would certainly be good for all of us here today that are saved to think about and ask ourselves this question in our own lives. But the Lord one time asked the question, he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, if you say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and you do not the things which he says, then that's a great contradiction. And it's a great contradiction to what Lord truly means. If we were speaking this in the Greek, we would say Jesus Christ is Kyrios. That is the Greek word from which Lord is taken. And what it means is the word Kyrios means supreme in authority or controller. And so, when Paul wrote here, for us to understand what he was saying in verse 11 of Philippians chapter 2, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is supreme authority, that Jesus Christ is the controller. Now, the Lord Jesus, he is that. Jesus Christ is Lord. That is how emphatic that it's stated in the Scriptures. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is that regardless of what people do. You know, we will never change the fact through obedience or disobedience. We will never change the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is supreme authority, and no human power will ever dethrone him. The Pilate, the governor, was foolish enough to think that he could exercise authority over Jesus, wasn't he? When Jesus was standing before him, Pilate said, "Don't you know that I have the power," which also means authority, "don't you know that I have the power to release you, and I also have the power to crucify you, to have you put to death?" He was foolish enough to believe that he could have authority over the one that is of supreme authority. But the Lord Jesus Christ made it known to him that that wasn't true. And he simply told Pilate, he said, "You could have no power at all over me unless it were given you from above." And that's the only way that that Pilate did have any control at all in that situation, was because it was allowed from above. But Jesus is the supreme authority, and he is the supreme controller. Now, listen, if you are not allowing him to be that, If you have been saved and you are living your life your own way, and you are not allowing that to be in your life, if you have not yielded to the Lordship of Christ, if you have not yielded your life to Him and given your life to Him and said, Lord, you take this, you just take control, then you are not allowing Him to be the Lord of your life, because the Lord is the controller of your life. That's why Paul, when he wrote his epistle to the Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, give everything to the Lord. It's His anyway, isn't it? If you've been saved, you're His purchased possession. You've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price, and the Lord ought to be the supreme authority and the ruler and the controller of your life. It's sad when people that have been bought by the blood want to do things their own way. It's sad when people have been bought by the blood say, well, this is my life, and I'm going to live it the way that I want to live it. No, it's not your life. Your life has been purchased, and it belongs to someone else. It belongs to the Lord. Sad to think that many people will pass through the scenes of their earthly life. I believe that perhaps this has been mentioned here today. I believe Brother Dallas made mention of this in his testimony today. But it's a sad thought to me. It breaks my heart, truly, to think of the countless number of people that are going to pass through the scene of time. They're going to be born into the world, and they're going to spend however many years that they're allowed to be here, and they're going to live their lives, and then they're going to lay down and die, and have passed through that time and the opportunity that they have, and never come to know the Lord as their Savior. Sad, isn't it? The greatest thing in my life, among all the blessings that God has bestowed upon me, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life was when God saved me by His grace. And if you're here today and you're lost, you need not look any further. You need not look beyond that, because you're never going to find anything in life that will be any better than that. You're never going to have a greater blessing than to seek the Lord and be saved. But we have much evidence in the Scriptures that when Jesus came into the world, that there were many people that never did believe the statement that was made here, and we find recorded now in the Philippian letter. There were many that never did believe that Jesus Christ was Lord. There are people still today that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, but listen, their unbelief will never change the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is that. And nobody is ever going to change that. In the Philippian letter, in the verse that I read, in verse 11, the Apostle Paul said here that every tongue should confess. The word should is used in that verse, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Isaiah chapter 45 verse 23, where this was taken from, there was another word that was used. In fact, I believe it was a more emphatic, I believe it was a stronger word that was used. If you look in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23, Isaiah said, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall swear. what Paul was talking about here, that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible tells us in the first chapter of the Gospel of John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were in the beginning with Him. All things were made by Him. He made all things. He was the Creator. And in verses 10 and 11 of the first chapter of John, we're also told that regardless of that, that there were many that never received Him for who that He was. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. There were many His own, being those that were Jews. There were many of them that never acknowledged the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. They never received Him in that way. They never embraced Him in that way. They refused to believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They refused to believe that He was the one that had come to deliver them. They refused to believe that because He did not meet their expectations. And folks, listen, when it comes to spiritual things, you can get all out of whack because it don't meet your expectations. You know, the Word of God, the Scriptures, it's not about us taking the Word of God and molding God's Word to fit our lives. It's about us taking our lives and molding them to fit the Word of God. And that's why that many of them didn't receive them, because He was not what they were expecting. He was not their ideal Messiah. He was not what they were looking for. The type of deliverance that He came to give was not what they were looking for. They were looking for more of a natural deliverance. And that's what so many people are about today. They're looking for something that'll satisfy their flesh. They're looking for something that will benefit them here in this life. But folks, listen, the benefits that I have in the fact that Jesus Christ is my Savior and the Lord of my life, those benefits are out of this world. They're out of this world. Our blessings are going to come. Certainly God blesses our lives here. But there are great things in store in eternity for those who are saved. He's Lord, folks. He's Lord. Jesus Christ is Kyrios. He is the supreme authority. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 21 through 25, you know, when I read this, in fact, I was looking at this verse this morning, and I thought, well, thank God that I wasn't one of those children that they spoke about. They had had it put before them of whether or not they were going to release Jesus or a criminal that had been arrested by the name of Barabbas. And Pilate put that before them. And we find recorded in Matthew chapter 27, verses 21 through 25, that it says, "The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas." I mean, here was the spotless Son of God, not guilty of anything. Pilate could not find anything wrong with Jesus, could he? He could not find any fault in Him in any way. He interrogated Him. He asked Him questions, and He was forced to the conclusion as He stood before those people, "I find no fault in Him." Pilate was good at his job, I believe that, but do you know why he couldn't find any fault in Jesus? There wasn't any. There wasn't any to be found. It required made-up charges, didn't it? It required false charges because they couldn't find anything to charge him with. And so they wanted this criminal released to them. And Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I'm telling you something, friends, if you're here today and you're lost, you better think about that question. You better think about for yourself and in your own life, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with him? Are you going to be like those that we read about in the scriptures when it tells us that he came to his own and his own received him not? Are you going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to push him away? Are you going to say, I have no need of that? I have no need of him in my life. Everything in my life is all right. I don't need that religion. I don't need that heartfelt salvation that I hear those people talking to me about. Are you going to reject him in that way? Are you going to be one of those that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart? Are you going to repent of your sins and trust him today for the salvation of your soul? Because listen, your eternal welfare is going to depend completely upon what you do with Jesus, which is called Christ. Well, their response to the question was, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. Pilate said, why? Why? Can you imagine somebody standing before an angry crowd of people and a person in civil authority saying, do you want me to release this man that we can't find anything wrong with? Do you want me to release him, or do you want me to release this hardened criminal that we know is guilty of these crimes? And the people saying, well, let this criminal be released and let this spotless man, let this man that you haven't been able to find any fault in, let him be crucified. Let him be put to death in a horrible, horrible way. No wonder Pilate asked the question that he did. Why? Why would you do such a thing? Why would you say such a thing? What evil has he done? Is what he asked the people. Why? Why crucify him? What evil has he done? The Bible says, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail, he was losing the battle. When he saw that he could not prevail, but rather a tumult was made, there was an uproar that was made. He took water. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know how you feel about this, but as far as I'm concerned, Pilate deceived himself. He took water and he washed his hands and he said, you see to it, I'm pure of the blood of this just man. I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. No, afraid not. Folks, listen, Pilate wasn't innocent of the blood of Jesus, and you are not innocent of the blood of Jesus, and you can't just wash your hands of this, because every one of us had a part in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us. None of us are innocent of that. None of us can just wash our hands of that and act like it didn't exist, because it was for Pilate's sins and it was for my sins and it was for your sins that he was nailed to the cross, and every one of us is guilty before God for the death of his son. Every one of us. Pilate deceived himself big time by just thinking he could just, you know, there's a lot of people today that think they can just be neutral in the situation. Well, doesn't have anything to do with me. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. We're going to see the Lord. We're not going to see him on man's predictions, are we? I mean, you know, we're still here. The world didn't end yesterday. But we're going to see the Lord. That man from Oakland, California that made that prediction, he was wrong. William Miller, the Baptist preacher back in the 1800s when he predicted the day that the Lord would return, he was wrong. Everybody that has predicted that day has been wrong. But let me tell you something. Make no mistake about it. The Lord is going to come back. We're all going to see Him. The Bible says every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ will be something to every one of us. He will either be our deliverer or our destroyer. But there won't be anybody that will be able to stand in the middle of it and say, I'm neutral in it. I'll just wash my hands of it. No. No, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the supreme authority. You may slip through the courts of this land, but you're not going to slip past God's day of righteous judgment. No, it's not going to work that way, friends. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we must appear for the purpose of receiving the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. And let me tell you something, if you go through this life and you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and you die lost and in your sins, you will absolutely stand before Him and give account. You'll give account for your rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people today, they don't want to hear the fire and brimstone preaching anymore. But I'll tell you what, there's fiery indignation waiting for those who reject the Lord. Jesus once, we find this recorded in Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 through 58. Jesus had returned to His own country. And, while He was there, even though they were astonished at His wisdom and His mighty works, you know what they said? They said, well, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary? Are not his brothers and his sisters with us? And there were some that couldn't get beyond that. And that's all that they saw Him as. They saw Him as nothing but the carpenter's son. They saw Him as nothing but the son of Mary. They saw Him as nothing but a person that had brothers and sisters like everybody else, and they never did receive Him as Lord. They never did. So what about the verse? What about what it's telling us here? What about the fact that Isaiah said that every knee shall bow and every tongue swear? What about the fact that the Apostle Paul wrote some 700 plus years after Isaiah's prophecy and said every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? I've just showed you today several examples of people that never did that. Brother Wheat quoted the scripture this morning from the 24th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." They would not receive Him. They would not acknowledge Him. They didn't bow their knees to Him. But the Bible says that every knee will. Does not this verse have to have eternal implications? Does it not have to have futuristic implications? I believe it does. Because I believe that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It will be done. God will not give up His glory. God will have glory through every one that He has created. He'll either have glory through us as his children, or he'll have glory through those who refuse to become his children. But either way, I am the Lord, that is my name, he said, and my glory will I not give away. My glory will I not give to another. Listen to me, lost friend. It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense for you to be rejecting the Lord. It makes absolutely no sense. And you know what you can say? You can say, listen, I was not among that angry mob that said, let him be crucified. I was not among those people that said, let his blood be shed and let it be upon us and upon our children. I was not that Roman soldier that thrust that spear into his side. I was not those Roman soldiers that took those nails and drove them through his hands. But let me tell you something. If you realize that you are lost and you are doing nothing but sitting back and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, the results for you will be the same as those that picked up the hammer and drove the nail through his hands. It'll be just the same. Every eye will see him, even they which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. There were many people that passed through life, and they never believed that Jesus Christ was Lord. There are many people passing through life today that don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, but he's going to show himself. He's going to show one day, finally and forever. You know what I'm doing? I wasn't a bit impressed with the man's prediction. Not one bit. But I'll tell you what I am doing. I'm looking for my Lord to come in the clouds of heaven. I'm looking for him one day, whether I'm living or whether I've gone the way of all the earth. Either way, I'll get to see it. Either way, I'm looking for him one day. You know what? I don't know how it'll be. I don't know if I'll be among those that are alive and remain. If I'm not one day, I'll come up out of the dirt, and I'll see the coming of the Lord Jesus. Every eye will see it. Everyone will know, even those that pierced him that day. The Bible tells me that they will know finally and forever that he is Lord. They'll bow their knees. They'll come before him in humility. And they'll confess, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. Lost friend, before we get a song, let me tell you this. If you'll acknowledge him that way here, if you'll acknowledge him that way while you have life and breath in you, you can reap great benefits. You can be eternally saved. If you acknowledge him in the day of his righteous judgment, it's not going to do you any good. It'll glorify him, but it won't do you any good. Your only opportunity is while you have life and breath in this body. During your time in this world, there won't be anybody in hell that don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. They'll all believe it. They'll all be persuaded of it, but they'll be persuaded too late. Too late to be of any benefit to them. So, come to the Lord today. Today. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come before him, seeking him with your broken heart. begging him to forgive you of your sins and to save you from eternal damnation while we stand and sing. Lost friend, won't you come? Come to the Lord. He's my King. He's my King. I gladly call Him the Lord of my life and the controller of all things.
232. 232. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, as in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus.
Let me say this, if you're here today and you're lost, you can do whatever you want to try to do to ease what you're feeling. You can look at your video game and you can try to distract yourself. You can turn your head away. You can try to put your head into the songbook and sing the song. But let me tell you something, if you're lost, none of that will change the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and you're going to stand before Him when your life is over. Amen. Nothing will change that. Nothing will change the fact that you're lost and separated from God until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil will do everything he can to persuade you. He'll do everything that he can to distract you. Let me tell you something. If you're lost, pretending like you're not won't change the fact. It won't change the fact that you're lost. It won't change the fact that you need a Savior. Those are disguises and deceptions of the devil, and you don't need to listen to them. If you know you're here today and you're not saved, you need to come to the Lord. You need to come seeking the Lord because, as Brother Weed already said this morning, and it's so true, you don't have the promise of another day. You may already have it in your mind, well, today's not the day. I'll wait for another time. You may be like Felix and be saying, when I have a convenient season, I'll call. Listen, you don't have any promise of anything beyond this. If I were you, I'd take advantage of what you have right now. I'd be seeking after the Lord. If I knew I was on my way to hell today, I'd be seeking after the Lord. I wouldn't be playing with some little video game and trying to distract myself or turning my head away and acting like it's not happening. You're not going to change that anything by doing that, friends. You're not going to change a thing by that. Go ahead, brethren.
Verse 3. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
The Bible tells us about a man. Brother Jackson read the scriptures this morning in Sunday school. Bible tells us about a man there in Luke 16 that died and in hell lift up his eyes being in torments. And there in hell, he asked he would send Lazarus back to his brothers lest they come to that awful place. And the Lord said, they got Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, but if one rose from the dead, they'd be persuaded. And the Lord said, no, they wouldn't. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe if one rose from the dead and went back. Friends, listen, if you don't come to the Lord on the terms of the gospel, you won't come any other way. You won't get any other warning than the warning that comes through the preaching of the cross. That's the only warning you're going to get. If you're waiting for something beyond that, if you're waiting for somebody to come walking in here with the smoke of their torment and the fires of hell rolling off of them to persuade you, no, you're not going to get it. The warning that comes through the gospel message is all that you're going to get. It's all that you're going to get. I'm really concerned today about you that are lost. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a world that is going to end. We live in a world that may end today. It may end today. You may die today. Anybody here today that has a promise that they won't? If you think you do, you got a false promise. You may die in your condition that you're in today. Be gone from the world. I appreciate your attention. I hope and pray that you'll turn to the Lord. Remember service tonight at 6:00. Please come back for the evening service. Brother Hendricks, will you please pray the benediction?